Let me go and get mic'd up. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for dying on that cross, shedding that blood. Thank you for being such a merciful, wonderful, and great God. Lord, we pray for your will to be done. Just ask that you help me to get behind the cross. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. All right, we're getting started a little bit late, but the thing is, we're in verse 22, and there's only 27 verses in Revelation chapter 21. So it'll be a rather quick quick look. I do need to go back to verse 10, because the picture behind me doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you don't. So look at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So that's a picture, you know, it isn't really John on the mountain. It doesn't look like that behind him. In fact, when I looked at it, I had this one, and, you know, there's no moons, there's no constellations. Good chance that there are constellations at that time. So, you know, I put that up there. Now, look, again, I tell you over and over again, I'll give you something. I'll say, look, this is one. I'll change and I'll go, here's the picture of this person. All of this is just to help you visualize a little bit. I try to be as biblical as possible and not go overboard. I might be ringing a little bit. In Revelation 21, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, or the temple of it. And verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun. Now notice it says no need of the sun. Does that mean there's no sun? It just means there's no need of the sun. And we'll deal with that in a second. Neither of the moon to shine in it. So there's no need to shine it. That doesn't mean that there's not one. For the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So verse 22 says, I saw no temple. He says, I saw. This is the last of 33 verses in Revelation with that phrase. I saw 33 times. There's no temple therein. There's no special temple that exists because the entire city is a holy sanctuary. And it talks about the temple of it. In the Old Testament, there was a building, a dwelling place for God was necessary. Because that's just what God did. In the New Testament, the believer's the dwelling place. He dwells in me, dwells in you. And you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. That's what the Bible says. So you are the dwelling place of God. He doesn't need temples made with hands. Now, He had them in the Old Testament because that's what He chose to do. But God doesn't need anything. But He chooses to live in us in the future. You know, there's no temple in heaven. The Lord will be openly in the city. The entire city will be a sanctuary. He doesn't need a separate sanctuary. It's holy in its entirety. And then the entire city will be the dwelling place of the Lord, as I said. The idea of a sanctuary or tabernacle, the temple, the church building, is that there had to be a place where we can go to escape the distractions and the defilement of the world. You know, that's what God does. He wants us to come here and get away from the distractions. We call this a sanctuary for a reason. You say, well, that's just man. And it might be. You know what a sanctuary is? That it's a sanctuary. Well, you know what it is for the people crossing our border? Sanctuary cities. Well, this is a sanctuary. You're supposed to be able to, you know, get in here and you know, just forget the world for a little bit. Because it's hard to do when you're out there. It's hard to do when you're around people that you know, maybe even want to drag you down or cause problems for you. It's hard out there. Shouldn't be hard in here. And that's why it needs to be a different place. The church gathering place is supposed to be where we can find that sanctuary, where our hearts and minds can be free from all the world's distractions. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And this is interesting because there's a lot of people that, you know, when you look at the church, is it the building? It's not. Is there, when you look at God dwelling, He dwells in us. But what's the house of God? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things write unto you, unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. What a tremendous statement. But he says, so you'd know how to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, you got to ask yourself, where is that house? Oh, it's your body. I don't know. Maybe. You know, we know we're the temple of God. But it sounds more like our sanctuary here, where we have a house of God. My wife just came in the back door, made a noise, and phew, I thought there was going to be crossfire back there. Oh, I know. I was watching you. Hey, Judy, next time... Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. It was the noise when the door opened. When you look at the New Jerusalem, it's about 1,500 miles cubed. Everything that dwells within its righteousness. Can you imagine a place where it's all righteousness? No sin. No sadness. I mean, yeah, he's going to wipe away all tears, but listen, there's eternity out there. You're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, receive the things done in your body, whether it be good or bad. I'm not looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to the judgment. I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. Say, really? You're the pastor. Yeah. And guess what? I know today I thought a bad thought. I can't think of what it is, but I know I thought a bad thought. I'm a sinner just like you. I'm going to stand there and I am going to be accountable for what I've done with this life. You know, people ask me, well, why do you know, you do this, you do that, why? I don't know. I mean, you got to understand, I was 19 years on the road. I had to be on the phone calling people to set up meetings. Do you have any idea what that did to a guy that doesn't like to be on the phone? And especially selling yourself. Now, I had a lot of friends. I got in. I had repeat places. All that was glory. Hallelujah. And then other people would call me because other people had me in. That was all great. But I still was a very practical man. When I got down to South Florida, I didn't want to be in Michigan. I was in a motorhome. If I was in Michigan, I don't want to be in New York. I don't want to be in California. And she's like, no. You know, but I mean, so it was something, that part I hated, I despised. I didn't mind talking to preachers every now and then, but in general, it was just a drudgery. So now I don't have to do that. Zero. I missed one Sunday last year. You know how many sick days I've had in 4.5 years? Anybody know? One day. You know. One day. And I had COVID twice. That's why we have side doors. I walked in, and remember, I was never tested for COVID. So I walk in there, you say, how'd you know? Hold on. I'd walk in that side door, I'd come up here. Now you gotta remember, Judy's in the motorhome with me the first time. She didn't get it. Second time she got it. So I come in the side door for 4 weeks, feel better, go give blood. I got the antibodies. That's how I knew when I gave blood. At the time, they don't test it for anymore. It became politically incorrect because we were saying if you have the antibodies, you have natural immunity. Well, that's unacceptable. Not in a politicized environment. You can't have antibodies. We got to get you to get the jab. You got to get the shot. You got to do this. We need that. But they didn't want a control group out there. You know what I am? I'm part of the control group. The control group is, I've had it twice. Now listen, some people, Carrie's got it, Cherie's got it, very, very sick. Nothing to discount any of that. I've got a friend of mine who's a pastor who got it very early on and almost died. I've got another guy that was in a coma for 10 weeks. And he came out of it, and I thought, you know, his wife was, they were building a house, and she continued to build it, and he came out of that thing, and, you know, he struggles, but he lived. The mayor here was in Ohio, and he got it, and he was going to die. And he told him, he said, "You do not put me on a ventilator unless I'm unconscious. If I'm conscious, you don't do it." And he stayed off that ventilator, because at the time we knew a little bit of that. He stayed off that ventilator and he made it through, and now, you know, he's still our mayor. But they were sure he was going to pass. So it's real. You know, I don't want anybody to ever think that, listen, if you got the shot, get the shot. You wear a mask, wear a mask. If you want to, whatever you want to do, but don't look at me and go, well, you know, you should wear a mask. You should shut down the church. That's about the same comment, by the way. No, it's not going to happen again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We're not going to shut this church down again. We shut it down for Wednesday. Governor said we're essential, and they're arresting pastors in mid-South Florida. I said, we're opening back up. You remember what I told you? You come back if God leads you. I said, everybody stay home unless God leads you to come back. 50% came back right away. And listen, it's just the way you do it. I'm telling you this as a pastor. They made us think that you were a killer if you stayed open. And then they said, oh, the choir got it. Three people in the choir died. Well, we stopped singing. We stopped the choir. We stopped singing. We stopped shaking hands. We didn't pass the plate, if you remember all that, because so much uncertainty. However, we will never shut down again. And when I saw them arresting pastors and what they were doing up north and, you know, all that stuff, I mean, it's just beyond me that they duped us that way. Look at verse 23. I told you about the sun, the moon. While there's no need for a sun or a moon, they probably are still there. Their purpose is a faithful witness. You can just jot down Psalm 89:37. I was going to take you there, but for time's sake, we won't do that. The Lamb is the light thereof, the Bible says. So if you look at Revelation 1, verse 16, the Lamb is the light thereof. And then you think about Acts chapter 26, that the light that appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus was brighter than the sun, he said. Brighter than the sun. In Revelation 1:16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, talking about Jesus, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That's what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Now it talks about the nations. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17. The nations, men have been trying to unite the human race since before the Tower of Babel, supposing that's the way to heaven. Yet the Bible only sanctions the abolition of national distinctions within the body of Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile in the body. God established national divisions early in history in Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined, look at this, the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Do you know what has caused more problems than anything else in this country and around the world? Going across those boundaries. God has boundaries. That's why you don't have open borders. Those borders are boundaries. Those borders are to say, look, we have a responsibility to take the gospel around the world. But we don't just open up our country and say, well, you know, there are no boundaries. No, God put boundaries up. It says the nations of them which are saved, and you know, you can look at Ezekiel 47. It talks about the leaf thereof for medicine. It says they're going to walk in the light of it. The impression is this city is over and above the earth. Therefore, its light will shine forth on the people. They're going to walk in the light thereof. Remember, it's the glory of God that lightens thing up. And remember this, the glory of God is also us. You will be the glory of God according to Daniel. If you lead people to Jesus Christ, you'll shine forever and ever and ever, the Bible says. If you lead people to righteousness, you will shine according to Daniel. And I personally believe, and I've got it in one of my books where I did the Chinese language. In the Chinese language, when Adam and Eve were naked, they had light exuding from them in the Chinese language. And then when they were naked, there was no light coming out of their body. 4,500-year-old language. I believe Adam and Eve were clothed with light. When they ate, they went dark. And that's how come they were naked. And that's why when the Bible says in Revelation, you know, you don't want to be naked, it's not talking about clothing. It's talking about your light. So let your light so shine, you know, that others may see your good works, etc. If you look at the things on light, imagine this. If you were a bright and shining star for all eternity, I don't mean a literal star. I just mean that you'll shine like that. That is what the promise is that the glory of God will lighten it. Now look at verse 25, Revelation 20, 21, 25 and through 27. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No night there. The passage offers another proof text that the church will not go through Daniel's 70th week. Revelation chapter 7 says that those saved out of Daniel's 70th week will serve God day and night. Well, if they're going to serve them day and night and there's no night there in the land, we must be up there earlier than that. In the New Jerusalem, there's no night there. But early on, it talks about day and night. You'll serve Him day and night. Look at Revelation chapter 7 about this temple again. Revelation 7 verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. So he was asked a question, who are these? You know, where'd they come from? And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. No temple in the New Jerusalem. There's a temple here. No night in the New Jerusalem. There's night here. So you have to make those distinctions. There shall in no wise enter into it anything evil. Once again, it's important that we recognize that the angel who explained these things to John was one of the angels who poured out the seven vials during Daniel's 70th week. This angel's not implying that a person in eternity can commit these things. Rather, he is stating that there's no one in the realm of time who committed these sins will be allowed in the city. Now, when we get to chapter 22, the Bible says without. You ought to read Revelation 22. Let me see if I can see it. Yeah, Revelation 22, verse 15. 14, blessed are they which do His commandments. They have right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates in the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Explain that one to me a little bit and I'll be appreciative. That is not a verse that I look at and go, oh wow, that's pretty cool. I've got it marked in my Bible that I'd like to figure it out. I mean, I'd like to know. I hear something. Do you hear it?
It's mine.
Okay. I thought it was mine. You can just pick it up off the pew, and that way it doesn't vibrate, doesn't make as big a sound. Just telling you, because yours never rings. That's probably the first time yours has rung in the church. So when you look at these things and you see a verse like that, you know, you got to ask yourself, what does that mean? And I'm going to show you a picture. Well, let's just look at it real quick. That's the tree of life. You see outside there, you see in the bottom right there? You know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I know this. We got nothing to worry about. Okay? Because people have asked me that. Well, you know, how does this apply to us? Look, and you, we'll talk about the tree of life, and you need to understand the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden, and the tree of life is now again. So we've come full circle in the whole thing. And it just shows God's plan. It hasn't been thwarted. There's no plan A and plan B with God. Well, you know, if Israel would have accepted Jesus Christ, he'd have set up his kingdom right then. There'd have been no church age. There is no plan B. God didn't get caught off guard that they put his son on the cross. It was determined that this would happen. Now, it doesn't mean, now you know what it says, but woe be to the man by where those things came. So God may say this is the future, and he says it right here, but man always has a free choice. You always have a choice. From Genesis, Adam and Eve in the garden, all the way through the end of Revelation, you have a choice. The 7 years, what's it about? Repent, repent, repent during that 7 years. In the millennium, Jesus Christ on the throne, not a whole lot of latitude there for you to do your own thing because he's ruling with a rod of iron. They still have a free will. Well, am I going to serve and live, or am I going to not serve him, not believe in him, not trust in him? And that's the choice. And then at the end, he looses Satan for a season. The multitudes surround Jerusalem. Fire comes down out of heaven, destroys them all. Why? Because God had to give them a choice. You always find in your Bible that God's given a choice to man, to everybody. Well, that was a little faster than I thought. I knew it was going to be a short lesson, but I'm not used to 20 minutes. All right, let's all stand together. And we will go into a business meeting right here in a few moments. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray for your will to be done. We pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we need to hear from thee every day and in every way. Lord, we just need you. We love you and praise you and give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. All right, you got about a minute or two. Or go ahead, play the music. I'm sorry. Did it cut out again? Okay. Thank you for coming. All right. Let's go ahead and go into a business meeting. If you want to be seated real quick, we'll not be long.